Today on The Journey with Steve DeWitt, a message from 1 Corinthians.
A gracious God extends saving grace to us, which puts us in a state of grace, and he empowers us in that state every day with daily grace. What is this saying here? What is Paul saying here? The foundation, listen now, the foundation of our confidence that we are going to be in grace in the future is that God is faithful.
Some people mistakenly perceive God's grace as fragile and contingent upon certain conditions. Others believe that they can exploit and mishandle grace for their own ends. But today on The Journey, Pastor Steve DeWitt shares a message about God's grace that transcends all misconceptions and highlights the truth from God's Word. It's the conclusion of a message in 1 Corinthians titled, The Story of Grace, Christ First Series. And you can listen to the full message and others in this series at thejourney.fm. Here's Pastor Steve with today's message.
Today's passage is going to tell us the story of grace. We are talking about New Testament biblical Christian grace. The story of grace. The Bible is a mirror to us. It is a mirror. What do we do with mirrors? And what's the purpose of a mirror? We look at ourselves in the mirror, don't we? We see what we look like in the mirror. The Word of God is a mirror to us. It tells us our story. And this passage we're in today is going to be similar to that because Paul is going to recount the story of grace to these Corinthians. Like what happened to them? And we're going to see in their story our story. Their story of grace is going to resemble our story of grace. Look at verse 4. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So tenses are important, and this passage is basically outlined in tenses. You have a past tense, you have a present tense, you have a future tense. The story of grace has a past, it has a present, it has a future. So let's get into that then and see again in the mirror our story as we see in verse 4 that these Corinthians had experienced past grace. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. And I think that there is something here for us. The Apostle Paul was a man who was dedicated to prayer. He must have prayed a lot. And he loved to pray for people that God had brought into his life. And I think there's an encouragement in this, don't you? That we ought to be people that are constantly in prayer. And there's a lot to learn from that here with Paul. So, what past grace does he give thanks for? He says three things. First of all, that the grace that was given them in Christ Jesus. The grace was, that was, past tense, given to them in Christ Jesus. Let's talk about grace. So there really are four ways that grace is used in the Bible. Let me just run through these quickly. Number one is that God is filled with grace. He is a gracious God. It is a character quality of God. The second way it's used is describing the grace we receive in salvation. This is saving grace. This is what much of the New Testament is talking about when it talks about grace, that we don't earn it, we didn't do anything for it, God gave it to us. Why? Because he's a gracious God. Third way it's used is that we are in a state of grace. Romans 5, verse 2, we are in a state of grace. And the last way that it's used, and maybe there might be a few more you might add, but the fourth one I'll mention is that that grace that we need every day, the daily grace of God, that it gives us encouragement and blessing and sustains us in our salvation. When Paul says grace to you, this is what he's referring to, the daily grace of God. So do you see how this works? Do you get it? A gracious God extends saving grace to us, which puts us in a state of grace, and he empowers us in that state every day with daily grace. He thanks God for the grace that the Corinthians received, and he looks back at those days and say, you know what? When I think of the Corinthians, I think back to what happened when you began, and we saw God's work in your life. The second way that he uses, or the second thanksgiving he has, is how they are enriched in him, and the him here in verse 5 is referring to Christ Jesus at the end of verse 4. So the him is Christ, that we are enriched in Christ. There is a lot about Jesus in the first part of this little letter. 10 times in 9 verses, we have Jesus referred to. Now, why do you suppose that is the case? Who is he writing to? The most messed up church in the entire New Testament. What do Christians in a messed up church need? What do you need? What do we need in these moments? We need to have our eyes on Christ, the Savior. Now, 10 times in 9 verses, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I think Paul would have liked going to a church that at least said its goal was to be all about him, don't you think? Clearly, Paul was enriched in him. Third is confirmation of the gospel. I'm going to say something about that in just a moment. So lots of past grace for the Corinthians. Amazing things that God did in their life. Now, again, mirror, what are you thinking about right now? Listen, what are you thinking about right now? Are you thinking as you hear the story of what God did in their life? Well, that's very nice for them. I'm sure happy that worked out for the Corinthians. Remember, we're looking in the mirror. Do you see your story here? Have you been enriched in Christ? Has he brought you along thus far? Have you had grace, experienced the grace of God in your life through the gospel and all the rest? What is your story like? Well, if you're not quite there a moment, why don't you take a moment and just think about what your story would be like if this wasn't true in your story? Like, what if today you had never been introduced to Jesus? What if today you had never had that thing that salvation is in your heart? How would things be different, do you suppose, for you? Well, think about somebody that has not experienced that, and they're just living life the way that everybody lives life, where there is sort of like confusion about where's meaning in life. We talked about that with the beauty of the Lord, all these cheap substitutes we try to put in our heart. That's our world, aren't they? I'll put this in, I'll put that in, I'll put her in, I'll put him in. Oh, it just doesn't satisfy. Where does meaning come from? What am I living for? What is my significance? Why am I here? Where am I going? What happens to me when I die? All things that the grace of God answers in the gospel. Without that, you don't have an answer for that. And so you live for things around here, which is why, by the way, in a week like we've had, where all the trouble in the financial markets, isn't it interesting? You know, in America, let's say the markets tank and the banks fail. What difference does that make? Well, in America, based on the response this week, I would have to say it is quite significant. Lots of people fearful about what all of this might mean. Why would Americans be fearful about their finances? Because Americans largely live for their money. And when you take that away, you don't have anything to live for anymore. But the Christian, you take the money away from the Christian, and the Christian still has everything, right? Because for the Christian, Christ is everything to us, and they can't take that away. Yeah. So, are you thankful for the grace of God? Amen. Past grace. He has met our needs. He has brought us through trials. He has blessed us in ways that we don't deserve. So many things that God has given to us, we ought to be thankful. Past grace. Okay. Present grace. Verse 7 says that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is not a lot of humor in the Bible. We could wish there was more, but there is not that much. So whenever you get a little bit of it, you really have to enjoy it. And there is humor in this statement here that Paul makes. You are not lacking in any spiritual gift. He gives thanks for the spiritual gifts of the Corinthians. Now, why would that be sort of an ironically funny thing? In the messed up church at Corinth, if you've read through 1 Corinthians, then you know he is going to rake them over the coals with how they have abused spiritual gifts. They've messed everything up. They don't get what they're about. We're going to study that in some months. And so, I mean, they just totally messed the whole thing up. And yet here at the beginning, he says, I give thanks for the spiritual gift that you've received. Okay, now that's Bible humor. I don't think it's connecting with you, but you got to savor it because you don't get that many opportunities. It is ironic that he would say this. This is something like a principal of a school being thankful that all the students were fed food in spite of the fact that they used the food to have a food fight in the cafeteria. Okay? Well, at least they were fed. I'm thankful that they were fed. What did they do with the food? They just messed it all up. So how can Paul give thanks for something that is so clearly misused and it's such a source of distress to him? And here is another truth for us. Listen, folks, listen. This is going to be helpful. Paul doesn't give thanks for what they did with the gifts because there is nothing to give thanks for in that. Paul gives thanks for the good giver of the gifts. God is the giver of the gift. God is the giver of all good gifts. James 1 says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. Every good thing in our lives comes from God. And so the problem is not in the giver of the gifts or the gift themselves. The problem is what they did with the gifts. So it seems to me that one of the keys to living thankfully in this broken and insane world that we live in is that we need to do the same. For example, again, let's talk contemporary events. We've got debates and all the pundits are saying all kinds of things. And I kind of get into that kind of thing, which is somewhat corrupting to me. I probably shouldn't because there's just so much froth out there. But some people just say, oh, forget them. The government, ah. And I'm just ready to be done with them all. And maybe that's where you're at today. I don't know. But wait a second. Where did government come from? Who established government? God did. It's a gift to mankind to establish society. So government is a good gift. We may not like the way that government happens, but it is a good gift from God. How about a difficult marital situation? You might be here today and you're thinking to yourself, oh, her, him. Wait, Proverbs says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So that spouse is a gift from God. Now, you maybe have messed up the marriage. She's messed it up. He's messed it up. It's messed up, whatever it is. But the gift was good and came from a good God. What about a difficult parenting situation? Those kids. Those darlings. The Bible says that they're a gift from God. Now, you may want to return to sender, but they are a good gift. And thanksgiving is always going to struggle in this world that we live in because it is broken and it is imperfect and things aren't the way that they're supposed to be. However, if we trace the gift to its source, there is a place to give thanks. And that's what Paul does here. They mess up the gifts royally, but he gives thanks for the fact that God gave them to them in the first place. So go back to God, is what I'm saying. This is how you give thanks in all circumstances, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is how we count it all joy when we fall into various trials and temptations, James 1:2. The circumstances, the trial, the husband, the child, the whatever the issue is, comes from a sovereign God who guarantees he is working everything for our good. So take it to God. Go to the God level and give thanks. And I rather think somebody here needed to hear that. Don't amen right now. Just in your heart say, that was me. Present grace, he gives us gifts, enables us. Future grace, look at verse 8. who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Notice that. By whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. These are two wonderful verses. Listen, Christian, if you listen for the next 5 minutes and you're going to be blessed, okay? This is what Paul is saying here. He says that he will sustain you to the end. What does that mean? We're talking about the future now. That God is going to keep us saved. He is going to keep us in the state of grace, that we are going to make it. Now, you see the word confirmed in verse 6, that the testimony of Christ was confirmed among you. And then you see the word sustain in verse 8. In the Greek, they are the same word. Very interesting word. It is a legal word in the Hellenistic Greek culture of the day. It was used in a legal document, and it meant this, guarantee. Guarantee. And you know how this works in legal things. When you go to buy something, a house, a car, or whatever, some kind of legal paper, what do they ask for you to do? You have to sign your name to it, right? And by doing that, you are guaranteeing that you are going to pay the mortgage, you're going to be responsible for the car, you're going to be responsible for whatever it is that you are signing for. It is a legal guarantee. What is this saying here? What is Paul saying here? The foundation, listen now, the foundation of our confidence that we are going to be in grace in the future is that God is faithful. Now, I didn't say that any way that it needs to be said, because if you get this, you're going to be rejoicing. Listen, God is guaranteeing that we are going to make it. He is going to sustain us in this until the coming of Jesus Christ. We will be guiltless on that day. He is guaranteeing it. It's much like this. It's like if I can, and it's my third illustration about the week of news and all that, but I'm on a roll now, and this is the last pages of notes, and I've got a four-hour nap waiting for me when I get home. So hang with me. In the news the last 2 weeks, what has dominated? It has been the mortgage crisis and the financial crisis. Apparently, in the United States, over the last several years, there have been thousands and thousands of people who have written their names guaranteeing that they will pay mortgages. And apparently, there are a lot of people in the United States that have not been faithful to what they guaranteed. And the result of that is the crisis that we have presently before us. Now, what about God in this? Listen, what about God? You know what Paul's saying here? It's like, here's the document, okay? I will stay following the Lord. And we're all like, I'll sign that. Steve DeWitt. Whew. That's not worth the value of the ink on the paper. Why? Because I am unfaithful. I am. My faith is wishy-washy. I'm up one day, I'm down the next. Good night's sleep, I'm a good Christian. Bad night's sleep, I'm not a good Christian. I have things that happen to me and I get discouraged and I wonder if I'm going to make it and is it worth it? And then something good happens and I'm like, God is great and I'm for it. I am just like whoosh, up and down like this. Anybody with me? Okay, yeah. We are. We are unfaithful people. So this is what God does. He gets that paper out and we come to find out that that there's a co-signing. Okay, so I will make it to the end of salvation. I sign my name. Yeah, great. Doesn't mean nothing. Here comes the Almighty. G-O-D. That mean anything to you? Pretty good, don't you think? God, you're going to make it. Not because we are faithful. God is faithful. Our confidence cannot be in ourselves. And if you're here today and you are discouraged in your spiritual walk, I would bet in some way it is because you're putting some confidence in yourself, or you are looking at the circumstances of your life and you're saying to yourself, I don't know that it's worth it. I don't know that I'm going to make it. I don't know that I have the strength to get through this thing that God has put in my path. And we focus on the things or the trials or the people, and what Paul is calling us to is to say, listen, your salvation is guaranteed because God is faithful. Our God is a faithful God. Philippians 1:6, he who began the good work in you will carry it on to completion. So this is a wonderful encouragement, especially if you're a member of a messed up church where everywhere you look, it looks like the thing's crumbling. There's anarchy everywhere. Nobody's being faithful to the Lord. You can look at this and you can say, this whole thing is going down. It's on the brink of collapse. What do we need in moments like that? And what might you need this week with the news that you get about something in your life? I want you to remember I said this. You need in that moment a faithful God and a confidence that God is going to do this in you, and that you are going to make it to the end. I am so glad I can stand in front of you here today and to say to every person here who has put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you are going to make it. You're going to. Not because I said it, but because God has guaranteed it. Okay, this whole thing rests on Him, and I'm glad it does. Left to myself, I can't guarantee my faith for 1 minute, but the Lord has made the guarantee. Our God never wavers. His promises never change. He is sovereign over circumstances. He never trembles. He never wonders. He's never afraid. He's never surprised. He is always the same. He is always true. He is always capable. He is always faithful. And if His eye is on the sparrow, then I can know that He watches me. This is our confidence, isn't it? Is in this great God that we serve, who is faithful to us. And messed up, self-absorbed Christians like the Corinthians need to recognize this, because for them, the sky is always falling and everything is about to collapse. Not the case. Focus on a faithful God who has given us grace in the past, who is giving us grace for today, who is guaranteeing grace for the future. This is a source of great encouragement to us, and I hope that it is for you today. Amen.
Amen. When we fix our eyes on the faithfulness of God, fear loses its grip, and we find strength to navigate whatever lies ahead. You're listening to The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt, and the conclusion of a message titled The Story of Grace from the Christ First series. To hear the full message, visit thejourney.fm. Well, I want to take a moment to thank you, our valued ministry partners. Your unwavering financial support plays a vital role in ensuring that The Journey reaches audiences across the central U.S. and the Midwest, as well as listeners nationwide through the Moody Radio Network and the American Family Radio Network, and prominent podcast platforms. As we press on with our mission, your generous contributions serve as the bedrock of our financial stability. Whether your gift is large or small, it empowers us to continue spreading the gospel to eager ears around the globe. To stand with us and support The Journey, simply call 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763, or visit us online at thejourney.fm. As a thank you for your gift in April, we'll send you a book called The God Conversation by J.P. Moreland and Tim Muehlhoff. Today's culture is increasingly a story-based culture, but J.P. and Tim help prove in this book that a story-based culture doesn't have to be one without truth. In this excellent resource, you'll learn how to better communicate the great truths about God, the world, our faith, and human nature through stories, modern-day parables, and by listening and teaching like Jesus. It's a must-read for all who want to help others find faith in Jesus Christ. You can request your copy today by calling 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. Or visit thejourney.fm. And while you're there, make sure to sign up to receive updates from the journey. Simply enter your name and email in the box at the bottom of the page. And join us for worship this weekend at Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana, home of the journey. You'll find directions and more at bethelweb.org. Well, I'm Tim Svoboda. Join us next time for more teaching from Pastor Steve DeWitt here on The Journey. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.